From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Atlanta native chef Ronald Sue stars in a new competitive cooking show called The Final Table on Netflix.
We're on the plate now.
Right here.
We just have to push.
90 seconds remaining.
I don't want to go home, man.
And Ronald joins me in the studio today to discuss his culinary inspirations in the world of reality TV cooking. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Virginia.
Boy, that sounds like some high pressure stuff.
It was pretty high pressure, but coming from La Bernadette and working in that kind of environment, that was even more high pressure for me. So, you know, the only added pressure that I felt on that TV show was just the cameras in your faces. And now I have a microphone in my face. So, you know, it was a good, good prep.
Well, so this is you now. You're a media star now.
I guess I'm insta-famous, I guess, for a little bit, yeah.
Tell me about La Bernadette. You were the executive sous chef and creative director, and this is a New York restaurant with Chef Eric Ripert, who's written a couple books. He's a terrific writer as well as chef. He's been a mainstay on shows like Top Chef and was friends with the late Anthony Bourdain. Do you remember your first days there at La Bernadette?
I do. My first days, I started off like everyone else did, you know, making the salad. We called it the market salad, where we would get the freshest and seasonal vegetables from the market, and then we would compose our salad that day. And you're not allowed to season any fish. You know, La Bernadette being a seafood restaurant, you're not allowed to season any fish until you've mastered the salad, which usually took about 2 weeks. So that was the thing that struck me the most, was like, wow, they care so much about the basics of the fundamentals of cooking, like how much salt and pepper or lemon juice you're putting on your fish, that they don't even let you do it for the first 2 weeks. And you had to work your way up and master that on salads before you get to touch any protein.
I'm curious how you got to that vaunted position. You come from a family of restaurateurs, right?
That's right, I do. Yes.
Your parents had Chinese restaurants?
Yep, my family actually had the first Chinese restaurant in Henry County, which I believe opened up in like 85, if I'm not mistaken, 84, 85.
What was it called?
It was called Hunan Village. Mm-hmm. And if you find any old advertisements, we were the best Chinese restaurant in the world. So
that's a very big claim.
Yep.
They're in Henry County. And your siblings are behind the Sweet Auburn Barbecue Shop.
That's correct. They opened that up, I think. Well, it depends how you want to look at it. They started off with a few burrito shops on the south side of in Henry County as well. And he and a friend of his decided to partner up and start a barbecue kind of like food truck right out in the parking lot where their burrito shop is, Gezzo's Grill in Henry County. And, you know, that kind of blossomed into a storefront in the Sweet Auburn Market over on Edgewood.
Mm-hmm.
And that blossomed into a full brick and mortar over in the Highlands, over on North Island.
So for you, did it feel like an inevitability that you'd be involved in restaurants?
Yes. And ironically enough, out of the three, me, my brother, and sister, I was the only one that actually went to school for any formal kind of restaurant training. My brother and sister both, you know, my sister went to school and she was pre-med at the University of Georgia. My brother studied international business, and I went to UGA as well. And I was in the business school, and I realized I hate numbers and stuff like that. And I've always cooked part-time. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this the rest of my life. I want to find something I love to do. And I grew up in the restaurant industry, and I always gravitated towards the kitchen side. And I've always had part-time jobs working in kitchens. And I was like, you know what? This is something I think I'm going to do. And I was going through that quarter-life crisis that every college kid goes through. And my roommate at the time was very pivotal in that, and kind of, you know, we were just drinking a beer one day at night and just talked about our futures. And he was like, Ronald, you should consider being a chef. And my mother always pushed me to do a white collar job, like being a doctor or a lawyer or something. And I was very hesitant to tell my mother I wanted to pivot and become a chef. But I did. And she was actually extremely supportive. And I told her, you know, in order to lessen the blow of this news, I was like, look, I'll finish my degree in business. But after that, I'm going to, you know, go to culinary school. And my mom, very surprisingly, was like, Ronald, don't waste your time. Drop out next semester and go do the go find the course you want and do it. Don't waste your time like that.
Wow. Where'd you go to school to learn the chef skills?
So I went to Le Cordon Bleu in Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason why was my my roommate at the time was also heading there. But after researching more, I realized that Australia was such a hotbed of Asian fusion cuisine, and me being Chinese and my parents coming from Malaysia and having this hodgepodge of Asian cultures behind me, I was like, you know what, Australia could be very good. And so I went there to learn French cuisine, but even my curriculum had a lot of Asian influence in it too.
Well, what kind of dishes helped you develop that passion for food? You know, what were the childhood staples that stick with you before you found French cooking?
Well, one thing in particular was cooking in my parents' restaurant was when I learned how to make fried rice. So, you know, I was barely tall enough to reach the handle of the wok, you know, at my parents' wok station. And my uncle at the time was, you know, I was hungry and I was like asking him to make me some fried rice. And he was walking me through the steps of making it. And I was like, what goes in fried rice? And he was telling me the recipe that we made at the world's best Chinese restaurant. Yunnan Village, just kidding. And anyways, so he was walking me through the recipe and he was like, oh, you put, you know, a little bit of garlic in there. You could put some soy sauce, some cooking wine. Some vegetables, but you know what really struck me the most was he was like, but Ronald, you can put whatever you want in there. If you want to put Snickers bars in there, you can. It's cooking. You can make it whatever you want. And I think that's what appealed to me the most. And that was probably my first real lesson.
That's what you make for yourself. I mean, it's always funny to hear what chefs make for themselves at the end of the night. Is fried rice your go-to meal?
It is. It's pretty inexpensive. We always have rice in our pantry, and there's always ingredients you can throw in from your refrigerator, whether it's eggs, bacon, if you do have any kind of vegetables. It always goes well when you fry it up with some rice.
So after school, presumably you went to New York.
Yes. Well, not directly after. So after I finished school, I actually didn't finish culinary school because it got too expensive. So not only did I drop out of college, I dropped out of culinary school.
You got a good record.
Yep. So after I left Australia, I moved back to Atlanta to work. And, you know, I took a week off just to kind of reacclimate myself to the time change. And then after a week of finding a place to live and everything, I then would drive around Atlanta and look for a place to go work at. And I ended up applying at a restaurant called Dish in the Virginia Highlands, where my first real mentor, Sherry Davis, was a chef there. And I worked there for a year and a half, and I progressed very fast there. I think after 3 months, she ended up making me the chef de cuisine, and I did that for like total time, a year and a half. And Sherry worked at Le Bernardin before moving down to Atlanta, and when I told her I wanted to progress my career, she recommended to go up to New York and work at Le Bernardin. And she's really the reason why I got my foot in the door at Le Bernardin.
And then you came back to Atlanta after that.
That's right. That's right. I was there in New York total time for 10 years, which really feels more like 50 years. But then after doing New York for 10 years, I moved back and to kind of work on my next project, which is Lazy Betty.
Lazy Betty, the restaurant.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. And now featured on this Netflix show, The Final Table, brought together you and 24 chefs from all over the world to cook and compete in teams of two. First off, how did you even find out about this opportunity?
I was very lucky to befriend a very acclaimed Japanese chef, Shinichiro Takagi, who was my partner on the show. And I befriended him through my travels in Japan. I actually won a recipe contest while I was at Le Bernardin. And the people that were holding the contest, it was an organization that promoted Japanese food. It was called ASICS, based in New York. And first prize was to go to Japan and kind of learn about different styles of food and different cuisines within Japan. And I kind of parlayed that into a trip to visit Shin at his restaurant Zenia in Kanazawa, and I actually made that connection through Sari Kawano, who owns Korin Knife Shop in New York. So before I went, I met up Sari, and she told me to go visit Shin, and she sent a couple emails and was like, "Can this young chef Ronald Tsu from Le Bernardin come work with you for a week?" And he was gracious enough to host me. He picked me up at the train station, and I got to spend a whole about almost 2 weeks at his restaurant, where he would pick me up at the hotel at 4 a.m. every day, take me to the market. We would go shopping for the ingredients for that day's menu. Then after that, we would go get coffee at the local coffee shop. And at this time, it was 6 in the morning. Then he would give me the behind-the-scenes look at how he would conceptualize and construct the menu. And after that, I would end up at his restaurant at 7:30 in the morning, where we'd work until 10 o'clock at night. And I did that for almost 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it was an amazing opportunity to, like, work with the chef one-on-one and, you know, have him spend so much time with me. It was really great.
And now you are, again, partnered with Shin Takagi.
That's right. That's right. So Shin got approached by Netflix. I'm not quite sure how Shin got approached to it, but he got approached by Netflix to be on the show. And he asked me just because we've befriended each other over the last 7-8 years, and, you know.
And he saw that you could get up at 4 in the morning.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, each of the challenges on the show is based on around one country's cuisine. So how did you come up with the ideas of what to make under, it is a pressure cooker environment?
Yeah. So, you know, the first few episodes were kind of tough. We had to do Mexico, for example, and Shin has not had a taco in over 30 years. And I believe the place he had a taco was at Taco Bell, which is not really, you know, the taco that Enrique Oliveira is looking for. He's looking for something a little more craft. So he kind of had to lean on me a little bit. And plus, my family has been making burritos and tacos in their burrito shops for a while. So, you know, it was good. We had a good balance of knowing different kinds of cuisines. He's ultra focused in Japanese. I'm a little more trained in different kinds of cuisines. So, you know, we just kind of play to each other's strengths.
That's Ronald Tsui. He's a chef and Atlanta native, and he's on a new Netflix show called The Final Table. Well, I'm not going to tell people, I'm not going to give any spoilers about how you all fared, but being on that show gives you a platform to showcase the food of Atlanta. What makes it so different from the many places where you've been, Japan, working in New York, L.A.?
Well, you know, being on that show was really great. Being at the platform for The Final Table was a global culinary competition. I really feel like Atlanta, also an underrepresented part of Atlanta's culinary scene, is how global it is. I mean, you have Buford Highway, which has all sorts of cuisines, ethnicities out there. And then you also have Duluth, which is basically a little Korea. And I feel like, you know, when I got approached to do it, that I was like, you know, this is a way for me to really showcase a different side of Atlanta cuisine that's not really being featured much at all. And me being Chinese, I kind of felt like, you know what, this, I can be kind of like an ambassador for all these, you know, ethnic cuisines and really try to show the world that Atlanta has a lot more to offer than just fried chickens and collard greens and biscuits.
What do you cook at Lazy Betty?
I cook, you know, so everyone asks me that. The only thing I can say is we're modern American. I use a lot of global flavor profiles. I try to find the best quality ingredients. I can't put a term on it. It's really just based off of what I've learned throughout my years traveling around the world and working in different high-end restaurants and in my parents' little mom-and-pop restaurant as well. And yeah, so I'll do everything from sea urchin to something a little more easy. Like, I make a laminated biscuit. So,
a laminated biscuit.
It ranges. There's a big range of foods that I like to do.
What do you laminate a biscuit with?
Well, it's butter and buttermilk still. But it's just the way you incorporate the butter is how you get the different layers and sheets of that flaky, rich biscuit.
Okay, your mom's name is Betty, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
So you called the restaurant Lazy Betty. How does she feel about that?
My mom loves it. She loves being the center of attention. We took a personality test, and her personality is an entertainer. Mm-hmm. So she loves being the inspiration for the name of our restaurant. And she, ironically, she's not lazy at all. And the way we came up with that name was I took a red eye home from New York one day, and I went to, my sister picked me up, so we went back to my sister's house. It was maybe 3 a.m, and my mom was babysitting my nephew and niece. And at that time, we walked in the door, and my mom was kind of sprawled out on the couch with, like, laundry all over her belly, and there's a little bit of drool coming out of her mouth. And we were like, yeah, there's our mother, Lazy Betty. And then we just sat there, like, oh, that's a catchy name. And, you know, and we were like, why don't we name our restaurant that? And we really liked it. And, you know, the way my mom raised us was really indicative of what we want our restaurant to be. So we were like, you know what? It sounds good. It's representative of the kind of restaurant we want to do. And so we ran with it.
And it's opening in 2019, right?
Yep, 2019. Depending on the construction schedule, we're looking at around mid to late January right now.
So with your MBA almost background, your chef school almost background behind you, what do you think opening this new restaurant? This is a big venture for you.
It is. It's going to be the first restaurant that I've opened from the very beginning. You know, I am the brainchild of it. I've developed most of the recipes along with my chef partner, Aaron Phillips. But still, a lot of the recipes have come from my childhood, my work experience. It's been very challenging. Even pulling 70 to 80 hour work weeks at Le Bernardin fails in comparison to what I had to go through the past year to kind of find funding, to learn how to work with my family and not, you know, be at each other's throats.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
And
a new baby.
And a new baby. That's right. So just balancing everything has been super tough. And, you know, trying to find time to go do this TV show was really hard as well. You know, we weren't getting paid to do this TV show. So I was unpaid for a little while, too. So, you know, it was a lot to juggle at the time. But, you know, you just take it one day at a time and you get through it. And luckily enough, I have a very supportive wife who was holding down the house and giving me a lot of emotional support from back home.
All right. I can't let that go. You don't get paid for these things?
No, it was really just for bragging rights and just, you know, getting the experience of, you know, cooking for all these great chefs and showcasing your talent. So,
well, I guess that exposure is going to serve Lazy Betty very well.
Yes.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Ronald. A real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Atlanta native Ronald Sue. You can check him out on the Netflix show The Final Table or at his new restaurant, Lazy Betty, opening in 2019. It sounds like if it all goes on schedule.
That's right.
And that is our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, and The Raven Taylor. Alec Caslow is our engineer, Don Smith helps out, and Amy Kiley is our senior producer. You can join the conversation. We're on Facebook and on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. This is On Second Thought.